Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everyone and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It is ranking season, people. We are talking Supercoach Top 20 Ruck Ranks. I'm recording outside, so if it sounds like crap, that is why. I'm living in a caravan. Started the new job, but apparently there's no rentals in the Portland area. Someone who is living in a house at the minute and loves a good ruck is my OG recording buddy, Jono Crockett.
G'day, Steve. G'day, listeners. It is good to be getting the OG band back together. No more Dawson Cam with his stupid hot takes. We are talking all things Supercoach Rucks, the best format there is. For the next month, we are dropping all our ranks, so really excited about that. And yes, look, if you do miss out on the top rucks, there is a bit of gold down there in the later rounds that you can just wait and pick them up there from there.
Yeah, I actually think it's probably deeper than we've seen in a few years past, Jono.
Yeah, just looking at the ranks, like I've got some pretty good rucks going down batting at 14. So if you are playing in the deeper leagues, you are going to be able to get a pretty decent ruckman this year, I think.
Yeah. So I can't wait to get straight into it, man. Why don't you drop us with, I mean, we pretty well know who the top two are going to be. So why don't you just start us off with them?
Yeah, so Grundy and Gawn, then my number one ruckman and two ruckman for this year. Grundy 130 average, Gawn 128. Going to be pretty hard to go past Grundy at number one, and Gawn certainly a contender to be in the top 10.
Yeah, do you see any way that Grundy isn't the top pick in pretty much, you know, 90%+ of drafts for Supercoach?
Yeah, it certainly is going to be a toss-up between Grundy and McRae, and there might be a 0.5 or 1% chance Tom Mitchell goes in there, but hard to go past Grundy if you've got the number one pick this year.
Yeah, and what about Gawn? Because he is quite a long way in front of the third ruckman. He has a massive average, so from last year anyway, and he's done it for a few years. So he's going to be great in captain's league. He really separates himself in non-captain's league. Could he actually go pick two?
You'd have to have a pretty big set, but of kahunas on that, but it's actually a pretty sound pick. I mean, because Grundy averaged 130. Gawn was the number two averaging player in the comp last year. So you've got two ruckman, 1-2 as the top two averaging players. So it's certainly a possibility, but I wonder who's got the balls to do it, to be honest.
Well, I don't know. I mean, people love good scores. So
but look, it's an outside pick that could throw people off their draft. And that's the thing. Like, most people would expect Grundy, McRae 1-2. And so if you throw Gawn in there, you might be able to jag a few players coming back at you. It just throws their draft right out for the bat, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's certainly worthy of a top five pick. Probably has a bigger range than Grundy, but there's going to be the consensus top two, no doubt about it. Who have you got at 3 and 4, Jono?
So Grundy was my tier 1, Gawn tier 2. Next is my third tier of ruckman. I've got Rowan Marshall and ROB. There's been a lot of debate about these guys, especially with Marshall, with Ryder coming in, that he's going to take the ruck time and he's not going to be able to average as much as last year. But look, I think Marshall's going to be pretty consistent this year. He might not get to the height of 110, but he's still going to be, certainly for me, a 108 at least in 2020.
Yeah, he's going to divide people, isn't he? Because there'll be people who just say, Ryder's coming in, that's bad. And that's fair. It's a fair enough argument, John. I really can't take anything away from him. But then, you know, you've got the other side of the coin. He's young, he's developing, he can only get better, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly right. And Ryder's, what, 32 now? And I would just see Ryder as a replacement for Josh Bruce, who's been traded to the Doggies. So I've no qualms with Marshall.
I initially thought the same thing. And it's like, well, if King's fit, you know, they could always put Josh Battle back forward. Probably won't. But, you know, there's a few moving parts there. And you've said Riley O'Brien at number four. I love Riley O'Brien. I've also got him ranked at number four. We have got one player different, though, but I'll wait till we get to your rankings. So you're pretty confident on Riley O'Brien.
Yeah, look, Sam Jacobs has moved on. We actually been waiting for Riley O'Brien for a number of years. I know this is the draft podcast, but in the salary cap formats, he's always been that loophole captain because he's never played a game. So always had my eye on Riley O'Brien, and he shone in 2019 when Sam Jacobs was out for all those games and went absolutely ham in a lot of them. So people say Billy Frampton coming in is going to have a dual rucks going on, but I don't think so at all.
Yeah, I don't see that at all either. And, you know, I was noticing going through O'Brien, he actually missed out on playing the Swans and the Dogs, which are two of the most gravy matchups going around. One listener pointed out that he did play the Tigers when they tried the, what was it, Chole-Bolter ruck tandem. Struck fear into Riley O'Brien, where he had about 700 hitouts. But, you know, it's not like the Tigers weren't a reasonable matchup before then anyway. Like, Nanke isn't exactly holding anyone back sort of thing.
No, that's right. Like, Nanke was coming back off an 8 or 9 week layoff, so I think that's why they played the Soldo-Nanke matchup. So it'd be interesting to see if the Tigers go with that again in 2020, but that's to be discussed later on down the rankings, I think.
Much farther down the rankings, Jono. They are one of the worst ruck divisions to try project.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But moving on to number 5, he is in a tier on his own for me. That is Todd Goldstein himself. And just some stats for you, Steve. This is a guy who had one score under 100 in the second half of the year and one game under 120, which was a score of 118 after the bye. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can continue that form going into 2020. I know he's in his 30s now, been banged around a fair bit, but I'm still pretty confident Goldie can bang it out.
I find it hard to believe you're really confident when you've got him ranked at 5. I've got him ranked at 3. He's a great super coach ruckman. I find it quite hard to believe you've dropped him a couple pegs.
Just a couple of pegs. I like the young guys coming up and coming. You know, I'm a bit of a fence sitter when it comes to age, unlike you, Steve, who does like the older guys, so yeah.
But there's just no competition for Goldie.
No, well, Tom Campbell and Tristan Szeri, so that's about it.
Yeah, I probably like him a bit more than that. Not that he's someone I'll be targeting in a draft. I think he'll go much too early for me, but
you think he's going to get overdrafted? Where do you see him being drafted? What do you think?
I reckon he'll probably go in the second or third round. Well, probably the third round.
Wow. Okay. I was thinking more 5, 6, where I'd be comfortable taking him, and that's probably why I've got him ranked that low.
I think that's why I say I'd miss out on him.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough.
So who have you got at number 6?
Number 6, I've got Scotty Lysette, banged out the 101 average and went 148 or something like that for a month without Paddy Ryder. He's going to be the sole ruck again. But there's talk again of this Ladhams fella dual rucking. But just remember, Port Adelaide have got two blokes called Justin Westhoff and Charlie Dixon who can pinch hit in the ruck. I don't think Dixon will because he's a glass cannon and has the ankles of a 90-year-old. So I think Westhoff is a good chance to get back that backup ruckman. But we've seen Westhoff just prance around a gazelle. So I don't think he'll get too much ruck time, but Lysette's going to be the man. They got him in there for a reason, and that was to play ruckman.
Don't worry about the fact he got dropped in the second half of the year. I've actually got Lysette at 5, so I'm pretty comfortable.
Well, that's just Ken Hinckley being a shit coach, isn't it?
He is a shit coach, isn't he?
He certainly is. Certainly.
You know who hates Ken Hinckley? Port fans.
Oh, they hate him with a passion. It's great.
You should start get some Hinckley out t-shirts.
We should just have a whole range of every coach and just pull them off the rack when the time comes.
Yeah, every coach. Yeah. Except for Clarko.
Yeah, but Lysette's safe as houses, doesn't get injured. He only misses when stupid coaches drop him.
Doesn't get injured, he gets injured.
Really?
Yeah, he's been injured in the past. Anyway, who have you got at 7?
Number 7, Jared Witt. I was lucky enough to pick this guy up late in my draft last year in our home league, Steve, and went on to average a nice 100. So he's in the same tier I've got there with Lysette as well. He comes in at number 7. Again, the only really competition you might see from him is the other King boy, but whether he gets on the park was to be seen. And even Peter Wright was the other backup ruckman as well. So I'm pretty confident in Witt's there at number 7 for me.
Yeah, I've got Witts at 7 as well. I think he's going to have a little bit of a down tick after his record hit out year. The other competition would be Sam Day. We saw him pinch hit a bit, and he apparently he's trimmed up.
Okay, be interesting to see. Like again, these are ranks we haven't seen a footy kicked yet, so this is purely before a ball has been bounced. So these are certainly going to change throughout the preseason once we see the Marsh series, of course.
Okay, so we've done our top seven, and we've had all the same seven, just in a bit different order. I reckon now is where things get really interesting, Jono. Round out your top 10 with your next three picks for us.
Oh, I think you might find these a bit fiery, and maybe you can even say a bit saucy. Coming in at number 8, it is Sam Jacobs. He's left the Adelaide Crows and gone to GWS. I'm pretty confident Mumford's not getting a game in 2020, and he's just there either as a backup or maybe as a development coach coming through. Saul's only averaged 80 this year, so he's going to be pretty buried in your drafts, and he's someone who's averaged 95 plus before, so I'm pretty confident in Sam Jacobs next year, especially with the gun midfield. Hit outs to advantage is certainly a thing. It'd be good if Champion Data would release that, so I'm pretty confident on Source getting back up to the pointy end of averaging again close to the 100.
Yeah, I've got him at 14. The one thing he has got is a good early season schedule.
There you go. Number 9, I've got Nick Natanui. He is, as we know, a super coach beast, and the only thing that's stopping him is just injury getting him on the park. And if he can stay fit, then he's potentially a top 5 ruckman when it comes to super coach. So I'm pretty happy to take him at number 9. He averaged the 93 from 3 games this year, so I'm pretty happy with that. And rounding out my top 10 is Big Boy McAvoy, average of 92. We did see Clarko playing with defence for a couple of weeks there towards the end of 2019, but he's going to be getting first crack at that ruck, and I've got no doubt about it that he'll be up there again, averaging in the 90s as well, and he's great contestant mark, goes forward and kick a goal as well, so he's got plenty of other attributes going for him.
Yeah, I think McAvoy's a great pick. He could be the value ruckman.
Yeah, it could be anything in 2020. He could completely shit the bed, or he can be right up there again competing with, say, a Jared Witts around the 100 mark. So he's quite an interesting one, and I think people might be a bit soured by the fact that he did play defence and Segler's being talked up as well. So certainly some value there for Big Boy in 2020, I think.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you there. I've got him ranked at 12, so I'm not super huge going into the season, but he's if I was a late ruck drafter, he's someone I'd target. I've got Nick Nat at 8. The time on ground's been pathetic, and he still pumps out hundreds,
yeah,
or 90s at least. I mean, he's a machine.
Yeah, absolutely. Who else did you have different in that top 10? Well, that was
so I've got Cruiser at 9. He just always goes late, and he always scores well. Like, I really like Cruiser, and the other one is Steph Martin at 10. I know he fell away, but he's still fine. He never misses games.
Yeah. I'll get to them a little bit later on, but no, I've actually slid them a little bit this year for me. But I'll move into the second half of the rucking now. And the next two, going into my next tier, it's the young gun ruck, Steve. I've got Timmy English and Sean Darcy there coming in at 11 and 12. I think they're both set. I know you're pretty hot on Darcy, but I'm pretty hot on English myself this year, and I think they're both set for a pretty big breakout year. Everything's going for them. English is going to be sole ruck. Darcy's going to be probably sharing a little bit with Rory Lobbert. He'll be taking the majority of it. Looks like he's trimmed down in the preseason there, Darcy, so he's going to be primed for the sole ruck, and same with Tim English. We saw it last year. He's adding the muscle to the frame to compete with the Max Gorns and the Brody Grundys, so I think they're in for a big year, and there's going to be some value for them.
Yeah, I might have to switch McAvoy and Darcy. I was hearing the report today, Darcy thinks the split will be like 60-40, 70-30, and that's not what I was wanting to hear. Ooh. from Sean Darcy. that's not a good split. I want 80. I want 80. That's
85. That's minimum.
What I
want. Minimum.
Yeah, so I had him at 11. I might slip him back to 12. And Tim English, I got at 13. I think there's a lot of hype around Tim English, and I just reckon it might be one more year. If we compare him to Brody Grundy, it was just one more year for Grundy. Yeah. And I like English a little bit more in Dream Team. I think in Supercoach, you know, because he doesn't really get any hit outs.
No. No, that's fair enough. Yeah, it's. I think that's right on the cusp there for English. It's either going to be this year or next year. But as a Doggies fan, I'm counting on this year.
Yeah, fair enough. I can't hate the pick.
Coming in at 13 and 14, my next tier, I've got Steph Martin and Matty Cruiser. I think Steph Martin, I think after all the years of taking a bash, is going to catch up with him this year. And we saw that they're pushing the Big O as well in the ruck, so there could be a bit of a takeover there. You know, Steph's a great pick, as you said not too long ago, that he doesn't miss games. He averaged 92, so he's still going to be scoring well when he is in the ruck, but I think at that time it's just going to diminish maybe a little bit, and then maybe be selective of the games he plays. Might not do the big travels over to Perth or Adelaide as well, so I'm not too sure on that. And the Cruise one I've got at 14. Funny enough, I've just never been a big fan of Matty Cruiser. It's just the amount of games played for me. Like, yep, great scorer, no problems, but just the games played. Like, when I'm drafting my ruck, I want that set and forget, where I don't have to worry about picking another ruckman off the waiver wire from week to week. So that's why I've got him at 14, but that's the only reason why I've got Cruiser at 14.
I love Cruz, man. Everyone else seems to hate him, but he's always there in like round 22. You can always draft him. He always gives you good scores. Yes, I know he gets injured, but like where you get him, the value you get him for is fantastic, I always think.
Yeah. No concerns of Casbold or Andrew Phillips taking over and taking his man.
Andrew Phillips plays for Essendon, mate.
Oh, he got traded, did he? There you go. I've been paying attention.
They brought in Mark Pitton, mate.
Oh, really? Oh, well, he's...
Well, who have you got next, mate?
So this is just one big tier, essentially, just to round it out. Starting off with Reece Stanley. It looks like Geelong have just punted all their ruckmen and left Reece Stanley as the last man standing. We saw Abbott go to St Kilda and Zach Smith back to the Gold Coast. So he is the last man standing. Again, he's solid. He does punch out some good numbers, average of the 86, but just doesn't get the hit-outs to go with that as a ruckman, so he relies on his possessions around the ground and goals. Tom Bell-Chambers, a great matchup-dependent ruckman. I think Steve used him maybe last year in a couple of matchups and went full ham. Again, it's just the injuries that affect him as being a dominant ruckman. 17, I've got Cal Sinclair. If he can get fit and firing again, it's all going to be dependent there on how Sam Naismith is tracking along and how they're going to use them going forward. 18, I've got the Nank, average of 74. He was partnering with Soldo last year, but I think now that he's fit and firing, they might go back to the Sol ruck with Nank because he... or maybe they even leave Soldo. I'm not too sure. That's a big wait and see because Nank seemed to tire at the end of the year. 19, I've got the Big O coming in with a 68 average. He's a ruck forward, so I'd be looking at him maybe as more as a forward than a ruckman. And number 20, I've got Paddy Ryder as the backup to Rowan Marshall.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't include any of the ruck forwards. I put them in my forwards tier. We had a lot of the same ones. I had Stanley at 15. He seems locked in as the Cats' number one. Not a sexy pick, but if your ruckman gets injured during the year, he's probably a good guy to pick up off the waiver wire. I got Andrew Phillips at 16. I just reckon Tom Bell-Chambers is no good. Like, I mean, yes, he's a good matchup ruckman, but I reckon Phillips is actually kind of okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Phillips. Again, I'll have to watch him over the preseason and see how he goes along and definitely make the adjustment if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a ruck battle. Obviously, Belcho's the incumbent there, but I could see the switch being made. 17, I got Sinclair. 18, I got Nank. 19, I got Naismith. 20, I got Hickey. They're all just shitty situations. I don't want a piece of any of them, really.
No, well,
the Tigers' ruck situation and Sydney's ruck situation is just fucking horrible.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Like, I'm just looking at some of the guys I don't even have. I've got Mummy, Lobb, Soldo. I mean, I've got Naismith there, so I can slide him in, but it's just utter garbage after the fact once you get past Sinclair, I'd say, because even Nank I don't really want a bar of.
No, and I mean, like, you look at the way Tigers were doing it. They were running two ruckmen, but they were playing, like, 55% game time.
Yeah. Well, where do you rest them when you've got handsome Tom Lynch and Jack Riewoldt in the forward line? And they're one of the best defensive teams, or they are the best defensive team in the competition, so they got to sit on the bench.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I can't take it. And, you know, we were loving Nanker's late ruck drafters before.
Yeah, I think that injury really woke up Damien Hardwick and thinks, no, we have to play a two-ruck system because if Nanker goes down, then they're completely cooked.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Lysette is really the big risk-reward here for me. I've got him ranked at 5. I think you had him...
6.
6? Yeah. So pretty close. To me, that could go either way. Like, he could be a top 3 ruck.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, we saw what he was putting out on the sole rucking, and those numbers were better than Grundy. So I completely agree that he can be potentially a number one ruckman going forward. Or top 3, sorry.
So Jono, let's say for a standard 10 or 12 team league, what are your thoughts heading into drafts this year? Will you have a set? I mean, I know each draft is different and you shouldn't go in with a locked-in plan, but do you have a general philosophy going in to this season?
This season, I think there certainly is a plan. If I've got a top 3 or 4 pick, then if I got number 1 pick, Grundy certainly on the board. No ifs or buts. That Grundy's number 1, but if I'm there 5, 6, 7, Maxi Goon, if he hasn't gone, is a big factor as well because people will probably be grabbing either a Whitfield or a midfielder. But if they're grabbing forwards or defenders even, then I know a midfielder's coming back to me, so I can take that risk on Maxi Goon. But if I miss out on them too, then look, if it's a 10-team league, I'm very comfortable grabbing any one of those top 10 ruckmans that I've put out there. So I'm happy just to hold later in my drafts when I feel comfortable enough that I'll just grab. I'm happy to with a Sauce or a Big Boy or a Nick Nat. So use the late round draft strategy for ruckman.
And with Supercoach, we play with a 4-man bench, so bench spots are at a premium. Is there any situation where you'd be drafting 2 ruckmen? Let's say you took Nick Nat, right? Yeah. Let's say you were like, yeah, Nick Nat's every chance to be a top 5 ruckman if things all break right. But, you know, it's Nick Nat and he's had his injury issues and they've run a split ruck and he's had low time on ground. Would you pair him with someone and take up a bench spot?
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's where I might be able to look at, say, an English or Darcy if no one's grabbed him and just plonk him there with my expectations that they're going to average at least an 85 minimum. That's still a pretty handy bench score if I do happen to cop an injury. So it's filling a bench spot but also serving a purpose as well if I do cop a donut throughout the round.
Yeah, fair enough. I get the feeling I'll probably end up with, like, Nick Nat or Cruiser.
Yeah, oh, look, if I do get Nick Nat, then I can throw a Cruiser in there as well if... As you said, he's always there, round 22, so just stash him on the bench and whoever gets injured first, the other one comes on board.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about the mock draft simulator coming out, and just for the people, I know we've been getting a lot of questions about it. Such a fantastic tool, helped people smash their drafts last year. It should be out around the end of the month, we think. John, is that...
The data input on this thing is huge. As you know, Steve, we're getting our rankings together and we've got to put all the data in there. So it's just a time thing. As soon as we finish putting the data in, it will go live. And you guys can draft away till your hearts are content. But yeah, it's just a data input thing. End of the month should be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about Riley O'Brien because I know I've sort of tweeted about it. Like, I'm pretty hot on him. A lot of people in the fantasy community are really hot on Riley O'Brien this year, but I'm starting to get the feeling that we've gone too hard too early and now everyone is just on the Riley O'Brien train. Where do you think he's going to go in drafts?
He could certainly... I think there's going to be a ruck rush this year in the first two rounds. Like, we've spoken... Our top 5 is Grundy, Gorn, Marshall, ROB and Goldie. I can see them going in the first two rounds. No ifs or buts.
Nah, they're not going to draft...
There is a world where
they're not
going to
draft
5...
Riley O'Brien in the second round. No way.
There is a world where it will happen.
Oh, fuck off. No way.
Yeah.
You'd have to be in a 2-ruck league or something.
There are people crazy enough to do it. I bet you if we put a poll out that it could happen. It could happen. If not, certainly the first 3 rounds.
No, that's so hot. That's a hot take, man.
It is a hot take, but...
I could see Goldie and Marshall potentially in the top 4 rounds. Maybe 3 rounds.
I can see a world where it happens. Like, you're looking at Grundy 130, Gorn 128, Marshall off 110. Some people might go, yeah, he's going to go better. Goldie has 112. and ROB finished with 95. So,
yeah, I think that's what's going to hold him back.
You think? I think people might look at his scores and like he was putting out 130s, 140s, like big scores. And even if people look at what his early round ruck situation is, who he's against, might go for the reach. Look, it's a good pick. I don't mind him if you do grab him early.
I reckon fifth round is probably the earliest I'd go for him.
Okay. I think you might be missing out there.
Really? That's interesting.
I think you would.
I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see.
Oh, I'm very keen. I'm keen myself to get drafted because there's so much going on this year with like positional changes, the forward situation, even the defender situations. Just wanted to quickly talk about it. It is hard this year to rank defenders.
Oof, it is. It is really hard.
I'm struggling with them the most. Everything else, not too much of a problem, but defenders in those D, I'm going to say late D2.
D3 to 4.
To D4, yeah. It's just, it's hard. It is hard this year.
It's an absolute shit fest. You're like, yeah, Braden Maynard, D4. Why not?
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking at it. Yep. Yeah, sure. Why not? And the way I'm looking at it now, I'm sort of breaking it down into, they've got a 75 average. Oh, I think they might go 75 and a half now. Just give them that bump or take them off. It's killing me. Killing me. And that's why the mock site's taking so long.
Yeah, we can't pick a defender to save our goddamn life.
No. But, yeah,
it's going to be... You know who I hate is Jamie McMillan, because his average always ends up, like, somewhere okay.
It's like no, 75 to 80 every year. I'm like, yeah, Jamie McMillan. D4, D5, or undrafted.
He'll get drafted, man.
He'll get drafted.
Yeah.
Coach.
Yeah, and your brother loves him, Andrew.
Oh, and there's a couple other people in our league that love him as well.
Yeah.
So, I can't see that as an issue, but... good times ahead. Good times ahead.
Certainly is. Now, make sure you check us out on the Twitters, at the Draft Doctors. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on there. We're on the Facebook. We're on the Instagram, apparently. I'm too old to know how that shit works. We've got the website, fun articles. Doss is dropping his Hype of the Week articles, which is just a fan favourite now, John.
Who was that Scottish? Was it the Scottish, the Irish soccer player he put up that's training with Adelaide? Was that an article?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't read the articles. I just think there's a lot of hype going on around them.
Oh, there's a lot of hype this time of year. There's a lot of hype. Like, I mean, Marcus Adams came second in Brisbane's time trial, for Christ's sake. So he's now going to be a D1 in your draft formats now.
Oh, well, Luke Hodges rolls over. So.
Well, great. Don't forget Grant Birchall's there.
Anyway, that wraps up this show for the week. Be sure to check us out next week. We'll be talking about aforementioned defenders.
Ooh, baby.
So I look forward to that absolute shit fest of a show.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see you next week. Hopefully I won't have to record from outside.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.